Well, normally right about now, we find out, of course, what is happening for the birds. Something really exciting happening for the birds and happening for the lady who brings us for the birds. Laura Erickson joins us on the phone this morning. Howdy there, sunshine.
Good morning.
Okay, so you're attached, no doubt, to a little piece of string to keep you from floating away when you go outside. Tell us about your exciting news.
Well, I've accepted a job at the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology. I'm going to be writing and editing for them, and I'm as excited as a person could be.
Now, folks who have listened to your program, of course, throughout the years, have heard you mention the Cornell Lab of Ornithology.
Once or twice.
What does this mean to you? I mean, this isn't just a, you know, hey, I got a cool job about birds. This is something a lot more important than that.
Well, Cornell, from the time I started birding, has been my mecca. Just the name Sapsucker Woods, which is where the laboratory is located. It's not on the campus of Cornell University. It's slightly away, tucked in the woods. There's been a magical ring to that name, and they've been sort of at the epicenter of birding and ornithology in the known universe. Everything that is really worthwhile about birds in one way or another connects with people or the institution at Cornell. They have state-of-the-art citizen science. They're the ones who do eBird, where anybody can post all the birds that they're seeing, where they are, and there's all this wonderful information that gets generated from everybody's individual contributions there. They have Project Pigeon Watch, Project Feeder Watch. They have an urban bird studies program. Just so many ways that individual regular people can contribute to ornithology in a way that is really meaningful.
Now, I know that those of us who are lucky enough to be able to call you friend knew that when you were looking for work, there was a certain amount of behind the scenes, oh, I don't want to call it whining and complaining, but I mean, there was a certain amount of
desperation.
And a sense of, because you have been lucky enough to be able, you were lucky enough to stay home and raise your kids. And you're saying, you know, I've been out of the workforce thing for quite a while, and what am I going to be able to find? Now, first of all, explain how you ran across this thing at Cornell. And then I think the next piece of the puzzle where this Ivy League university flipped out at the opportunity to hire you is a wonderful story. Tell us.
Well, I was on the Cornell bird site because I'm always at the Cornell bird site. Whenever I write things, I have to look up. They also are the ones who run the BNA, the Birds of North America website. What they've done is they and the American Ornithologists Union and now I can't remember what other university sponsored this huge undertaking that started back in the 80s of trying to make a magazine size article about every bird breeding in North America with state-of-the-art information, up-to-date, current, with just a really huge bibliography, each one written by one of the top ornithologist specialists in that species. And now that is all online, and being online, and being from Cornell, which has the Macaulay Library, the Bioacoustics Library, which has more animal sounds than any other place in the universe, they can have all the bird sounds for each species, and they have video and photographs, and it's just the greatest place to start out when you're doing any kind of research on a bird or just want to find interesting things about that species. So I was just there on the website, and I noticed somehow my eyes don't focus on the sidebar where there's the ads and stuff for any website. I don't think I have ever noticed an advertisement on a web page, certainly not enough to actually buy anything from it. But my eyes were wandering down the sidebar, and it said, job opportunities. So I thought, and I clicked on it, and I had a job for a writer. So I thought, well, nothing ventured, nothing gained, and I filled out the online application, found some people who would be references for me, which I've been lucky enough to write for Birders World, and I've done enough things that I could call upon a wide range of people to ask to be my references, and I applied. And that's how the ball got rolling, and that was just 3 weeks ago now, I think.
Well, I have to confess that I'm a little amused by the way you tell this story, because you make it sound as though, you know, you saw the ad and you applied and, you know, when in reality, I mean, there was flailing, there was hysteria, there was Cornell, 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 there was, you know, waving of hands and jumping up and down, and there was a lot of that. But
well, just to apply for it felt so thrilling, and so to actually get it is, like, beyond my comprehension right now. When you said I need to be tethered down so I don't float off, that's not all that close to an exaggeration.
Well, and you were concerned that they wouldn't consider you because you don't have a master's degree.
Right. I don't have a master's degree, and my PhD project, I always call it my doomed PhD project, never got much off the ground because my I was a stay-at-home mom, and our kids were still fairly little, and so I took one semester where I took some of the really fundamental coursework that I needed, avian physiology and veterinarian physiology, down in the Twin Cities. But that's 160 miles from here, and it wasn't a commute. So I was staying there all week and coming home weekends. And 1 week I brought my daughter down with me, but it was such a great experience. And I was working with Gary Duke, who was the world authority on bird digestion. It was just such a cool thing. And I learned a lot of the things I needed to learn to figure out the answer to my question. And then Gary developed Alzheimer's before I had another chance to, you know, get down there and actually finish up. So it was heartbreaking. But, yeah, so I don't have any credentials. I could not get a job at UMD. I don't qualify.
But Ivy League Cornell snapped you up. All right. Now, to reassure everyone, you're not, I mean, you're moving, but your husband is still staying here, and so you're still going to have your home in Duluth, and you're going to be, well, you can't really be bicoastal because we're not, well, we're on the coast
Neither
of Lake
of us
Superior.
Are on the coast.
Well,
we're on the coast of Lake Superior, and I'll also be on the coast of the Finger Lakes.
Okay, so we'll call it bicoastal, but you're going to do it that way for a while, and your poor, long-suffering husband, Russ, thinks he may actually see you more now than when you've been doing all the traveling that you've been doing lately.
Right. So it's going to be a transition, but not a horrifying one.
So, of course, we...
And I'll be closer to Katie and Joey because they're both on the coast now. Katie's in Washington, D.C., and Joey's going to be in Savannah. He's migrating north from Disney World, so...
Well, so that is going to be really exciting. Of course, let's bring it back to what's really important, which, of course, is how it affects KUMD. You are still planning to do your radio show.
Right. I've always been not always, but for the past several years, I've been a closet radio producer.
Literally.
I literally produce it in my closet. The clothes absorb most of the background noise, and I mix it on my computer, and then I upload it to my radio page, and then you download it onto the station. And it's like a miracle, some sort of magic. And I can still weave that magic from Cornell. So, you know, it's going to still have the focus it has now. I'll probably expand some of my basic species I talk about to include tufted titmice because they are so adorable. And they're all over the place at Cornell, so that's going to be exciting. But I am going to miss a lot of our birds that hardly ever or never would show up around sapsucker woods. So I will be migrating back. And there's going to be a fabulous birding festival, a Sac-Zim Bog Birding Festival in mid-February, the weekend that includes February 16th, that Mike Hendrickson is putting together. And I am one of the keynote speakers for that, and will be helping with one or two of the field trips, and I will be back for that.
Well, they have also, in as they discussed this job with you, obviously they understand the nature of, you know, your family being here and some of those commitments. And part of what made you so attractive to them was that you do public speaking, public programs. The lady who interviewed you was a huge fan of your book, and so that worked out wonderfully. I guess the last question that I want to ask, because I've been tweaking you about this for so many years, that I just have to ask with a measure of seriousness, how is your sense of the part that KUMD played in this just incredible sort of rags-to-riches success story?
Well, KUMD was at the epicenter of Laura's success. How about that? I've been doing the program for 21 years. Where else could I have just walked in off the street with my bird records from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and the director there at the time, James Wolcott, gave me permission to use the bird sounds and make a radio program that a station would actually play. It was where I got to find my voice and do something that didn't compete with any of the local birders, because I felt really awkward moving to Duluth, and all the main niches were taken, so I just carved out my own new niche.
Well, and the success of the radio show in many ways led to the first book.
And then
it went on and on, and so it was in many ways sort of a jumping off place in terms of letting people get to know who you were, and as you said, finding your voice and developing your confidence in your unique and tremendous gifts. And when you applied to Cornell, you were certainly no stranger to them. The lady that I talked to said, we never thought we would have anyone of this caliber, that we would be able to get anyone of this caliber.
But the weird thing is that, you know, I don't have credentials. I couldn't get a job at UMD, and there was nothing local, so this was like a miracle.
Well, it is really a dream come true for you, Laura, and as long as we know that you're still going to be here, you're still going to be back to visit, and of course the magic of technology will keep us connected, we are so happy for you, and thank you so much for your years of service, and we can't wait to keep abreast of your great adventures on your show here.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Laura. Laura Erickson is the host of For the Birds, a program that she will soon be producing at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology in Ithaca, New York. And with any luck, they might actually give her something a little nicer than a closet in which to produce her show.